Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Around this time every year, there is a heightened level of supplication, of prayer, and of earnest pleading with God. It is a season in which men and women need, perhaps more than any other time of the year, God's intervention. We are approaching a season that many young men and women have learned to call final exams. Also, for some, graduation. The tests and exams to prove that you are paying attention, the projects to prove that you can research and put your thoughts together, the presentations to prove that you can take what you've learned and communicate it in front of a group. And when you're through with all that, then come the awful question, what are your plans? And the other, which is worse, have you thought about college yet? If you don't have an answer, look out. All amount to varying intensities of the same question, what are you going to do with your life? Is it the medical field? Is it going to be IT, criminal justice, welding, nursing, teaching, automotive repair? Is it art history? And the choices, the options are without end, world without end. But it is at this season, Rogation Tide, that we ought to take time to stop and recognize that these existential questions of deep personal identity and destiny are different questions than what the great swath of humanity has had to ask throughout history. And so without minimizing the importance of what will your major be and what school will you go to, we simply note that these are the questions and the prayers of first world citizens in the modern age. But for much of the world and for most of human history, the question was not which field will I choose, but rather the existential and deeply personal questions were asked while gazing over an actual field, one just thawing from winter, soaking with spring rain, and ready to receive seeds. And the prayer was not, dear God, bless this career choice, but dear God, bless this soil. Help these seeds to grow and bear a harvest. The hope was for just enough rain, just enough sun, just enough laborers, no injury, no blight, no pests, no mildew. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy upon us. Christ have mercy upon us. Lord have mercy upon us. And it was not simply praying that the right career path would be chosen. It was praying that the family would survive the dormant winter that loomed just a few months away. We know that our age is one of anxiety. But I cannot help but believe that we have not yet learned the meaning of the word anxiety. And probably not yet the meaning of the word faith. Until we sympathize with those who have stood looking over a field at planting time, with a house full of hungry kids and a hopeful wife looking over the shoulder, the anxious prayer was for God to just do what God does to make this world produce bounty. The prayer was for a miracle. St. Augustine, in a short homily about Jesus' multiplication of the loaves and fishes, remarks that that miracle is only considered a miracle because it was rare. It is an event that was witnessed by only a few, and even in his own day, it was done only once or twice, depending on how you read the scripture. He writes, St. Augustine, a great miracle. But we shall not wonder much at what was done if we give heed to him that did it. He multiplied the 5 loaves in the hands of them that break them. He who multiplies the seeds that grow in the earth so as that a few grains are sown and whole barns are filled. But because he does this every year, no one marvels. Not the inconsiderableness of what is done, but its constancy takes away the admiration of it. There's a miracle that happens every single year and all the time, but it's so common that we don't consider it to be a miracle. St. Augustine proves that it's not the multiplication of the loaves and fish that we should marvel at, but rather that any field ever bears any harvest. Not that 5,000 are fed for one meal, but that the whole world is fed perpetually from seeds. Rogation, from the Latin term rogare, meaning to ask. Think interrogation. And the rogation days of the church calendar are days in which we join with all those in the world who know that the events of the coming months are not really in our hands. And so we pray along with all those who will work and plant and water in all of our labors, in any of our labors, agricultural or otherwise, knowing that it is God who will bring growth. It is God who will bring us safely to the feast day of plenty one way or another when the time comes. You can guess which feast day is the little brother to Rogation Sunday or Rogation days, especially in this country. First comes Rogation, and then months later, when the harvest is brought in, then comes Thanksgiving. And here is something to get into your mind. This annual cycle is a much more blessed arrangement than we imagine. Planting, rogation, labor, harvest, Thanksgiving is repeated year upon year. And it is truly a microcosm, a little version of all of history, a little version in time of what God is doing through all time. Seeds planted in the beginning. A season of prayer and growth, and then the harvest. It is appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. And in the end, the marriage supper of the Lamb. All history starts in a garden and ends at the supper table. Interesting. And now we've seen that this annual cycle is a microcosm of all history, but we must also see how our own worship follows the same pattern in teeny tiny. In this hour, or hour and a half today, we begin with rogation, supplication. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And not a year later, but just a short time later, this morning, after a truly fruitful season of scripture and creed and preaching and confession and absolution and consecration, we're invited to the Lord's Supper. And afterwards, we pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Talk about miraculous bread, indeed. And here is an arrangement, then, that we must not neglect to make part of our every week, a small version of the supreme act of rogation and a small version of a never-ending and grand Eucharist Thanksgiving. But on this day, what about that rogation? What about this asking? In the 16th chapter of the Gospel, according to St. John, Jesus says words that are both wonderful and perplexing for us to hear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And then ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These words are wonderful, for within the passage, along with the other words Jesus says, we are assured the Father loves us, that he is with us in this supplication and thanksgiving life, this rogation Eucharist life, that his goal in this arrangement with us is stated explicitly, that your joy may be full. And again, that you may have peace. And boy, that sounds great. Love, joy, and peace of divine origin. But the words become puzzling to us because it would seem that there are many things that we have asked for that we've not received. There seems to have been many seasons of rogation for which we have not yet seen the harvest. And yes, immediately we perhaps understand that not all things that we've asked for are really expedient for us. That job was not the right job. That situation was not the right situation. That lottery ticket was never bound to become the winning lottery ticket. And probably winning the lottery ticket wouldn't be good for your soul anyway. Yes, and we remind ourselves then that Jesus does not say, whatever you ask for, but rather, whatever you ask for in my name. And that is not just to say in Jesus' name after asking for better Wi-Fi, but instead to ask Jesus in his name is to ask for something according to his character. And so many of our requests fall by the wayside because they are not according to his character or according to his will. And in the end, they would not make our joy full. These requests must be more thoughtfully made then. The purpose of Christ is that our joy may be full and that we may have peace. And we know very well that the trial that we have endured, where it seemed that God had abandoned us and where we never did physically heal or something to that extent, that when the storm was past, he truly did leave us with a fuller joy, a more abiding peace. At least he offered it. The immediate relief from suffering does not seem to be God's first priority, as it is so often ours in the nature of our prayers. But then it comes down to it. What about those requests that we cannot imagine could possibly be outside of his character? Those requests that we suppose would have to be according to his will and could truly be said to have been made in his name. In the grand scheme of things, in the big picture in which every year and every liturgy is a microcosm, how should our many years of supplication for our loved ones seem to go unanswered? We may not stand at a field staring out, hoping and praying for a harvest so that we can feed our family in a dormant winter. But how can it be that the prayers for the persecuted church seem to go unanswered? How can it be that many of our pleas for the safety of the unborn seem to go unanswered? We have known the rogation. When shall the thanksgiving come? Has Jesus not heard? Has our Lord now left us? Has this one that taught us to ask in his name so that our joy may be full neglected to fulfill that promise? We should pay close attention to this passage. When Jesus makes this promise, the disciples think they've finally heard what they wanted to hear. When he seems to have promised them that they can have whatever they ask for, think of their response. Now we believe that you are who you say you are and that you come from God. They've looked out at the field of their own lives, at the unknown future, the unsure harvest, and he has promised them that there will be fruit from this field and that their harvest will be bountiful, that their joy will be full, and that there will be peace. And just like us, they like the sound of that. We like that promise. Now we know that you are from God. Now we believe. Here's the part to pay attention to. Jesus says, do you now believe? Now that you heard something that you like, you believe. Well, the hour cometh that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yes, even after a promise like the one I just gave you. Yes, you will be scattered, and you will have difficulty. In fact, here's a promise. In this world ye will have tribulation. Jesus says, I guarantee you, in the midst of it, you are going to pray that it will be over and that it will all stop. And it's not going to be over and it's not going to stop. And you're not going to understand. You are going to have trouble. You are going to have questions that go unanswered. And in this world, you will have tribulation, full stop. That's a promise followed by a command. And this is the command. but be of good cheer. In other words, let your joy be full. Allow it to be full, because I have overcome the world. You are not only in the moment of supplication, the Kyrie eleison, nor the month of supplication, rogation tide, but the age of supplication, your entire life. The harvest is coming. The Eucharist is coming. The endless age of thanksgiving is coming. You look out at the future of your world and are not at ease. Well, listen to the command. In the midst of it, be of good cheer. I, Jesus Christ, have overcome that world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He didn't say in the world you might have peace. He said in me you might have peace. We are promised tribulation, and we are promised love and joy and peace. And as long as we are here, the two states of affair will run concurrently, and that's the deal. Let your requests be heard. Let the litany continue. From God help me choose the right career path, to Lord help heal my loved one, all the way up to Lord have mercy upon us. Christ have mercy upon us. Lord have mercy upon us. And in the end, though we are promised tribulation in this world, our words will everlastingly be, Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. Our prayer will everlastingly be, Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.